What does that sound, you ask?
Welcome to the Rec Show Podcast, a show dedicated to beatmakers around the world. Kick back, relax with the host, Golden Mind.
Peace, peace. What's up? What up? What up? What's going on, everybody? Golden Mind here, and welcome to another episode of The Rec Show, man. I appreciate y'all for tapping in, man. I hope y'all are counting y'all blessings and not y'all's problems. Having an amazing week and weekend. Yeah, man, just looking at the positive things that you have and being grateful, man. So, because I am. Even in storms, man, I'm grateful because storms don't last forever. You feel me? But anyway, yo, you already know what it is, man. It's February. It's J. Dilla month, man. Rest in peace to J. Dilla. J.D. Dilla. And if y'all want to help support some of the projects that my Deuce has going on to keep J. Dilla's legacy alive, go to the James D. Yancey Foundation.org. Go ahead and donate, and you know, check out some things that you can support and stuff like that, man. So the James D. Yancey Foundation.org. I'm gonna leave the link in the description, just like that, man. But yo, welcome my next guest. He is a Sacramento, California beat maker. He's a machinist. Yo, he's a SP44. He's a koala head. Yo, he's a simple Fleo, he does it all, man. Yo, I want y'all, I had to tap into him, man. So, yo, I want y'all to give it up for my next guest, the one and only Telly McLean, aka Dizzy Gillespie. Give it up for him, man. Yo, you already know what it is, man. Yo, we gonna tap into his music, we gonna hear from him, get some of his insight, get to know him a little bit better, because that's what I do, man. I'm like Professor X with, you know what I mean, Cerebro, you know what I mean, tapping into the mutants around the world, man. So we'll be back. Peace and love, yo.
Yo, 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 what up? This is Telly McLean, and you're plugged into the Rec Show Podcast with the homie Golden Mind. You heard?
All night, say you eatin', but we see you getting cooked, nigga.
All night love, and
y'all checking out tracks from the new joint Telly McLean just released called Te Pes Cogite. Hey, man, y'all go ahead. Yo, I did the research on the name of this, man. It's, yo, banana. Yo, Mother Earth is giving us everything we need on this planet, man. Yo, if we don't F it up, you know what I mean? So, yo, let me get into it, man. Yo, let me get into the interview with Telly McLean, all right? Yo, Telly, what up? What's going on, man? Yo, first of all, I want to say thank you for saying yes to the show, man. I appreciate you for doing this with me. And just for the B-heads or the internets, please introduce yourself, where you're from, what your name means, you know, how your name was created. You feel me?
Man, well, I guess first of all, I'll just say thank you for having me. Golden Mind, appreciate you for grabbing me for this interview. My name is Telly McLean. I'm a producer, beat maker out of Sacramento, California, currently in the Bay Area. Man, the way I got the name was, my old name used to be Telepath. So back in the day when I used to make beats, when I used to rap, obviously I still make beats, but when I used to rap, it's like kind of how I started. I used to go by Telepath. And then over the years, my homies just kind of started calling me Telly. You know what I mean? Fast forward a few years later, and I kind of just had the idea. I was like, man, I don't really want to rap anymore, so I think I'm going to drop the Telepath. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go with the Telly, you know what I mean? I added the McLean because I just thought that was a cool name. Now I'm kind of rethinking it, and I kind of want to just go down to the Telly. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's going to happen at some point. But yeah, man. And then Dizzy Gillespie, that's just a play on fucking Mac Dre and Dizzy Gillespie. So it's like Diz Nation. Shout out Mac Dre. Shout out Dizzy Gillespie. Rest in peace, Bohu. But yeah, man, Dizzy Gillespie, you know what I mean? I have to keep it Dizzy out here. And Jazzy.
Yo, no doubt, man. Yo, that's what I was thinking about, the Dizzy Gillespie. I thought it was just a play on that, but I didn't even know about the Mac Dre joint. So shout out to Mac Dre, man. Shout out to, yo, Sacramento, California, the Bay Area. Man, y'all been, yo, in some of the most amazing, doing some of the most amazing things with hip-hop and culture, period. Dance, yo, business, all that type of stuff. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, man, yo, so how did you begin your journey into music? And then, like, can you remember that one moment that sparked your interest into making your own beats?
Oh, man, how did the journey start? Let me see. I don't particularly remember when I started, like, when I decided that I wanted to create music, like, actively. But I do remember vividly what, like, a memory that sparked my idea of, like, a producer and, like, the idea of, like, who is making the music behind this? Like, who is this person that is in charge of this? You know what I mean?
Right.
As opposed to just being like, oh, this is this artist and that's their song, you know? So it was me actually actively being like, oh, there's got to be somebody behind the production to this, the composition, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know this person's not making all this music. Obviously, there were some artists who were also composers, but, you know, as specifically with rappers, too, it's like, I know that guy's not making the beats. Either way, long story short, I think it was like 96, 97-ish, if I'm remembering correctly. I could be wrong, but I remember my aunt picked us up from school, and we were basically coming home from school. I was, you know, I mean, probably like in first or second grade, something like that. Maybe a little bit older, but Are You That Somebody came on by Aaliyah. And I remember when that came on and I was just in awe of the musical composition. I was just like, I never heard anything like this before. These drums sound crazy. I didn't know it was a sample or if it was a sample, but like that bass, that doom, 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 doom. And then the bounce to it was just, I never heard anything like it before. The little baby sounds that are crying in there, the little beatboxing that he does with his perks, and like my ears were going crazy. And I was just a kid, and I'm just like, I've never heard anything like this. Like, what is this? What am I listening to right now? And I think I might've just had to ask my aunt or my cousins or some shit. And obviously they told me it was Aaliyah, and like that's when I started getting into Timberland and Missy. But I remember vividly that was like the first beat that I heard, and I was just like entranced by it. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. But yeah, I would say that's probably the first memory of like me knowing that I I liked production, you know. And then from there, I think that's essentially where I started, you know, just chopping over my cousins and really just taking my own interests in music and trying to research or figure out what was playing on the radio or what was that and who is that. And, you know, so I'd ask my older cousins all the time about shit, and they put me up on so much shit like Eminem and, you know what I mean, I was a big Pac fan, I was a big Dre fan, hella G-Funk shit, Bone Thugs, you know what I mean? All the usual shit you grew up on the West Coast. And then, you know what I mean, as I'm getting a little bit older, my cousin starts putting me on like Wu-Tang and more East Coast shit, more backpacker stuff, you know what I mean? And through that, you know what I mean, I just started learning more and more about music and the different types of hip-hop there are. And I think once I started learning about like backpacker shit, more independent music, is when I actually had the realization that this was something that I could do myself. And also because technology was like changing and shit, I was already, I think it must have been like 11 or 12, and I was already like kind of interested in like, oh, what are drum machines and where can I find one, where can I buy one? So I was like, you know, any beat videos that I would watch, I don't even know if I was watching them on the internet back then, because I don't know if I was even on the internet like that. But if anything that I stumbled upon, I would just be in awe by it, and I'd be like, yo, I gotta get that, what is that, what machine is that? I think eventually, I never ended up getting a drum machine, but I think eventually my mom caved and she got, not just me, but all of our, like me and my sister, she got us a little fucking keyboard from Walmart. I don't even remember what brand it was, but it was just one of those keyboards where you could just learn how to play piano on it. And then, you know, I was just teaching myself how to play by ear, and I came to the realization that there was a 5-track recorder on there. It wasn't like a looper or anything, but it was a recorder. So I started doing like little beats on that keyboard, and I would just play the piano loop fucking for a minute straight. Then I'd play the drums for a minute straight. And then I had like this little compilation of beats, and then I record them onto my little Sony Ericsson phone or whatever. So trash, but that's basically where it all started. I remember the day that my cousin found that shit too, and he was like, yo, what is this? And I was like, I don't know, just some beats I've been making. And he was like, what the fuck, this shit is tight, dog. He's like, how long have you been making beats? And I was just like, I don't know, I just discovered it on my keyboard. And he's the one who pushed me, man. He was really, when he just, because I had that shit hidden, I didn't show nobody my music. And when he discovered it, he like pushed me full force. He was like, nah, bro, this shit is tight. Like, you gotta, you know what I mean? And he actively to this day has been one of my biggest supporters. And he's always giving me gear. He's always putting me up on new gear. Even he makes beats now. But man, much love to my cousin Vic, man, for real.
Yo, so shout out to your cousin, moms, for caving and buying that keyboard. You know what I mean? Because, yo, those things right there, man, like, everybody led you to this point, right, where you are, man. You 2 years old listening to that, your ears going crazy, you wanting to play it, but you didn't have the tools. Mom caved, got you a keyboard, you learned about machinery. You know what I mean? Your cousin playing you stuff and supporting you, man. Yo, man. That's super important, you know, into the evolution of an artist. You know what I mean? So, like, what resources would you recommend for listeners on their journey in beats and music? And, it, you know what I mean? It could be like a documentary. It could be a book. It could be YouTube tutorials, ebooks, podcasts, like anything, man.
Man, well, first of all, I'd say for sure YouTube University, man, is like your best friend. Anything that you're looking to do on your specific DAW or whatever, you can most likely find a tutorial on YouTube about it, or somebody who's talking about it, and it could lead you down the right way. If not, hey, man, feel free to make that content. But shit, honestly, man, I don't really have too many things that I like reference to in that sense. I say the music is my reference in its own right, man. I just study the music. I study my sourcing. I study all the samples, the the samples that I like to pick out, what I end up liking, the artists that make that music, the musicians that are playing in those, on those albums, and the instruments they're playing. You know what I mean? Liner notes are some of your best friends too, as far as like learning who is behind the music. You know, I always like to read about who's playing what on this album and who actually did a cut on this and all that. You know, a bunch of stuff like that you can't find out just looking it up, really. But it's really just digging, man, digging for the information. I don't know, I don't really have one sole place or book or documentary that I usually go to, but I mean, there's definitely stuff out there. I know Netflix has a bunch of good ones. I think they got the Hip Hop Evolution one, which is a pretty dope one. I definitely watched that. I used to watch Freestyle Art of Rhyme all the time as a kid. Man, there's so much. There's a few documentaries on sampling on YouTube that I've watched. There's a bunch of stuff, man. Honestly, I really can't pinpoint any specific thing. For sure, podcasts that I like to listen to. What is it? Broken Record podcast or something like that with Rick Rubin. That one's a good one. And then The Other Tone with Pharrell. That's also really good. But yeah, man, for the most part,
yo, I understand. Yo, like, I always ask that question just because I know somebody's listening and may be like, yo, like, I wonder what they are watching. What are they dissecting? What are they listening to, man? So, yeah, man, I saw the Broken Record podcast with Flying Lotus, man. So that's what got me really into learning deeper as well. The Pharrell one. There's a couple other ones, man, that I can Producer's Grind. There's a few more, man. So anyway, so yeah, like from your video content, you can be seen using like a machine, MK3, Serato Studio, Koala Sampler, SP404 to create your magic, right? So like, what is it about those tools that like help you express your creativity?
Yeah, man, well, nowadays I take my gear philosophy from the homie DiBiase. Shout out to OG DiBiase. He's always telling me, he's like, man, don't ever be afraid to learn new things. You know what I mean? You could learn new workarounds. Just learning new machines and new machinery and new gear can really help you with your old stuff or anything that you're very comfortable with using. Not only is there a learning curve, so you have to, like, you know what I mean, work your way around other ways, but through using all these other types of hardware, I've learned to use these workarounds with each other. So like stuff that I would have never normally done in the machine, through using Serato Studio or Koala Sampler, I've developed certain workflows and I'm like, oh, how can I do the same thing on machine? So you just figure out a way to kind of do the same exact thing or do it in a different way, you know. So it's all just more knowledge that you're learning, which is why I like to use many different DAWs. Not only that, but I've been using different DAWs throughout my whole beat making career, you know what I mean? Like, I started from the little keyboard that I told you to GarageBand to Beatcraft to FL Studio. I remember when I first got a crack version of that back in the day when I was like 15. Then eventually I moved up to Reason and Recycle, used that for a good amount of years. Then eventually the machine came out, and I think just the sound design on it was what really drew me to it. Just the quality of the sounds compared to like Reason stock sounds that I was using, it was just next level. So that's what really drew me to the machine. Mind you, I didn't learn about machine until like 2013 or something like that. And by then I had no equipment. This was my homie's machine and he would just come over to the house. I had none of my own equipment. I had pretty much stopped doing music at that point. But I remember him bringing the machine over and I was like, yo, what is this? So I was like, yo, whenever I get back on the music, which didn't realize, but it wasn't going to be for another 6 years, I told myself I was going to get a machine. And that's the first thing that I got when I did decide to get back onto it. So I say that's what I like about Machine, and then also just kind of got comfortable with the workflow, but for sure there's sound design. Serato Studio also, man, just the workflow and how much it is catered to the beat maker. I really like about it. There's certain like effects in there and just certain parts about the interface that is really beat maker friendly, honestly. Like I feel like they really cater to that community, and that's what I love about Serato Studio. And mind you, I was also using Serato Sample for at least a year before I got on Serato Studio, so I was already pretty familiar with like the interface and how just kind of how it looks, so it was very easy to transition to that. But Serato Studio, man, yeah, it's got some quality like stuff in there for sure. That's why I've kept using it for so long this last year. Shout out to the homie Matt and the homie Mr. Sonny James at Serato. But yeah, also Koala Sampler, man, that's one that changed the game for me, because I was like, hold on, you could do this on your phone? Because I was watching just DiBiase do videos on it, and shout out to the OG DJ Fresh. He was also doing a bunch of beat videos on there, and I was like, yo, how are these fools doing it? And I love the fact that you could just screen record your beat, so you don't even have to export it, really, even though obviously there are options to do that. But that's one thing that I loved about Koala, man. I was like, yo, I could just make beats at any point in my pocket. I could have just a sampler. What the hell? And I think people, they kind of don't take it serious at first. I know I didn't, because it just kind of seems like something that you could beatbox your drums into and make beats on, you know what I mean? But once you actually learn, and obviously it's updated now, so there's like a browser still and stuff on there now, but before, you know, I didn't realize that you had to get this other app called Audio Share in order to import and export your drum samples and even just other samples that you have in there. So that's when I realized that I was like, oh, I could use like actual drum sounds in here and shit. So that's when it really took off for me. And you know what I mean? I got Audio Share, I loaded up a little folder called Koala Drums, and I threw in all my sample packs that I use on my Smack Pack, all those drums, and I just started going off on the beats. But it's also very intuitive, man. It's like, I love that you could see the audio file on the pad, so you can kind of tell which one is yours, you don't get lost. Or which one is what, so you don't get lost and confused about what's where. I love that it has all the different bangs, all the effects are really nice. Shout out to Marek, man, he did a great job on that Koala Sampler app, and he's still continuing to update it to this day, man. Like, that Samurai mode was a game changer. If y'all haven't gotten on that, man, y'all got to, for real. But yeah, I mean, that was that for Koala. SP404 is kind of the same way, man. I initially got it just for an effects box and like to do live shows and shit. I'm not gonna lie, I'm not like a purist hardware user or anything like that. I definitely come from the DAW world, but initially I got it just to do live shows, to be able to do live sets, and obviously the effects on there are just legendary, and they can't really be matched. So I process a lot of my drums through it, I process a lot of my music through it, a lot of my samples I'll process through it. So it's all around good tool. And in conjunction with Koala Sampler, oh man, it's a game changer. And same thing with Machine and Serato, like I'll hook those up through, well, I have all my audio running through my SP, so anything at any given time I could run it through my compressor, I can run it through vinyl sim, I could run it through, you know what I mean, anything, the EQ, whatever I want to do. So the 404 is kind of like the centerpiece of everything, and I run most of my audio through that for processing. But yeah, using all four of them together, or you know, in any kind of combination is a game changer for sure, man. I don't know who, anyone who ever tells you that you should just stick to one thing is tripping, for sure, man. The more tools you have, I mean, it's also possible to have too many tools in your tool set, you know what I mean? So it's about knowing when and where to apply those tools. But you know what I mean? You have a bigger toolbox at your disposal. So.
All night. Say you eatin' before you see you get cooked, nigga. All night.
DiBiase, man, yo, we appreciate you, bro. I don't know if you're gonna hear this or not, but yo, we appreciate you for from a music standpoint, from a beat culture standpoint, from a geek standpoint. Yeah, man, yo, yo, we appreciate you, man. Yo, peace, love, and respect to you, DiBiase. So Telly, on your Bandcamp site, you just released your, first of all, you released 33 either beat tapes or singles. Amazing. You know what I mean? But I wanted to highlight the recent release called Tapas Cohete, which is straight fire. I had to order a cassette myself, yo. So I just saw that you mailed that, bruh. Yeah. I can't wait to pop that into my 2003 Nissan that's over here in Japan. You know, they still rocking 2003s and they work perfectly fine. But yeah, I just wanted to figure out, like, I wanted you to speak about that and speak about your muses during the pandemic and when you were creating Tapas Cohete, and you know, what are the benefits or the of your creating during the pandemic and how it affects your resiliency, you know what I mean?
Oh man, thank you, G. Appreciate the love on that, man. Definitely really proud of that Tapas Cohete. Just dropped it February 8th on my Bandcamp. Pressed up 50 cassettes. Go get that. TellyMcLean.bandcamp.com. But yeah, basically my muse throughout all this pandemic and for this project has just been getting back into music, man, honestly. I took a 6-year break from 2014 to 2020. I didn't make any beats at all. I was literally just working, living the restaurant chef's life. And yeah, that was it, man. I was just going to work fucking 6 days a week, 12-hour days, coming back. I mean, I was obviously still listening to music and absorbing it and studying it, but making it, I hadn't done for 6 years. So once the pandemic came, I was laid off of work for a little while. I had a bunch of time. I had some money saved up and said fuck it. So I mean, got an old computer, got my machine, ordered that, and I think maybe like March of 2020, and I never looked back, man. I just started going in on the beats. I would say almost for like a whole year straight, I didn't stop making beats every day until maybe like this last March of 2021. I kind of started easing off a little bit because I had a lot of stuff compiled. So then I started, you know what I mean, trying to figure out the release of all this stuff. But anyways, long story short, after that long hiatus and during the pandemic, I just had a lot of time on my hands, and I decided to just keep to myself in my room and just take a bunch of psychedelics. Obviously, I mean, sometimes every day, every other day, but definitely would have recommended for everybody. But but I really just didn't have anything to do. So I was like, let's just get creative with it. And I would just, you know what I mean, basically make music all day for this year, like during the pandemic of 2020, 2021. I would basically make music all day. You know what I mean? Chill, go throughout my day. Later on in the day, I'd probably take a couple of, you know what I mean, whether it was psilocybin or LSD or anything like that, even DMT, which this one is very heavily influenced by, because Tapas Cohete is actually the Nahuatl word for the Mimosa hostilis, which is the tree bark that they use to synthesized DMT, which is the most powerful psychedelic known to man. So that's the tie with that. And so, like I was saying, so every day I would just wake up, make music, go about my day. You know what I mean? Later on in the day, I'd probably take a little bit of some kind of psychedelic, and I would re-listen to what I had made the day before. And you know what I mean? Just get all these crazy visuals, ideas, and just creative inspiration. And then I'd start, and then from there, from the listening session, I'd start making more beats while I was still on the psychedelics. And this was just like clockwork, you know. Then I'd go to bed, wake up, listen to my beats again, and you know, this was over and over again. So it's definitely tied in through a theme of psychedelics, because at that same time I was also just kind of by myself. So I was just learning a lot about myself. I was just tapping inwardly and really, really just diving into the psychological makeup of my mind and why I made the decisions that I made, and why I am how I am, why I am who I am, and just a lot of intrinsic sorting, I guess you would call it. And through all that, I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about why I am the way I am. So that I'm still very much coming out of, and I feel like this, all this music that I'm releasing now was definitely made during this period. So it was a very good way to tie it all in, because I'm one of those people who have a very strong belief in psychedelics as their therapy. Obviously, it works best when you have a therapist with you, but even as self-therapy, it works very well, at least to just help you shine light on a lot of stuff that you don't necessarily are conscious of. But yeah, long story short, that's been the biggest muse, honestly. It's just psychedelic journey, learning about myself, and that's basically where we're at as far as Telly McLean music goes right now. Don't know where I'm gonna take it from there, but I mean, seems to be resonating with a lot of people, so I'm definitely grateful for that. And I don't know, we'll see where it goes from here.
So I see we owe the music that you're making and the breaking in your hiatus in music to the pandemic. That's the benefit. That's the benefit, man, because you get to explore your creativity now. Like, you just said, fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, yo, so, hey, man, there's good and bad, man. Maybe it's just the way you look at things, man. You just got to look at it that way, man. So I think the pandemic, as far as when we're talking, it was a good thing, man. So, yeah, man. So, next question. Five elements of hip-hop are DJing, MCing, breaking, rapping, beatboxing, right? So, which element did you begin your journey with? Yeah, it's a history lesson question, you know what I mean?
Ah, the old elements of hip-hop question. Hold on, beatboxing, the fifth element? I thought there was only four elements. See, I'm not even that hip-hop. Not even hip-hop enough to know how many elements there are. But it's been a minute since I've been that hip-hop, honestly. Never got into DJing. I always wanted to, like, get into scratching and buy some tables. And obviously, I have some now for records, but never really got into it. I'm actually just now starting to get into, like, more mixing and stuff like that. MCing, I would have to say, is probably was my start, because I used to, before I was even an MC, I used to write poetry, actually. So through that, I think that developed into my MC rhymes. Was never a break dancer. Obviously used to dabble in graffiti, but I was trash, so never did it seriously. Beatboxing also, I mean, I'm a producer, so I dabble in it, but nothing like fucking, you know, I'm not no fucking Rozell or any of these other cats who are coming out nowadays, which be doing some crazy shit. But yeah, I think I would say MC was probably my first love as far as elements of hip hop. Before I was super engulfed by the music side of things, I was definitely a big fan of spoken word and raps and just lyricism in general. Now, I don't want to say that I'm not, but I'm not gonna lie, lyrics kind of come second to me. When I'm listening, I always listen for the beat first. But obviously, I don't underestimate the power of spoken word. So definitely do appreciate good lyricism and just good songwriting in general. But yeah, I guess that's a short answer for that.
Yo, once again, I just want to let everybody know, man, we tapped into episode number 38 of the Rec Show podcast. We are tuned into Telly McLean, and right now you're listening to the new album that he just released called Te Pez Cohete. Yo, man, this album is dope, man. It's just a chill vibe, man. Yo, the background that you're telling me about how you created this, and yo, man. See, this is why I do this show, because you just never know, man. I gotta ask these questions because I always wonder. And it just gives me an outlet to ask these questions and get deeper. You know what I mean? Like, this is like Beatmakers behind the music. You feel me? So, but yo, next question is, like, there's a game I created called Superheroes. You play it by naming your childhood, teenager, and adult beatmaker or music producer superheroes. And, you know, kind of tell us why they were so important in these specific times in your life. And then major key, no genres off limits, bruh.
My superheroes. Okay. Man, honestly, I don't give this question enough thought. To be honest, I feel like I'm always looking forward, never back. But, shit. I kind of touched on a couple of them already, for sure. Let me see. My childhood superhero. As far as production, I would probably have to say definitely Timbaland or Dr. Dre. This is way before I like really dove into production and stuff like that. Those must have been the two producers that I first ever was aware of. Maybe next to Pharrell, honestly, but yeah, for sure, Timbo and Dr. Dre. Probably when I was a child, Timbaland changed my life, man. Just the way he flipped shit and his drum work. And everything, man, his drum program, everything was just next level. He was from a whole nother planet, for sure. Yeah, I would say for my childhood, for sure, those two. Teenager, I say in my teens, I was definitely more into, I mean, more backpacker shit. So, like, high tech, Dilla, obviously. I didn't realize how much Dilla changed my life until later on in my life, really. But Dilla, fucking Madlib, Alchemist, Exile. Those are like some people I can think of that I was listening to during that time. As far as production goes, I would say probably my teenage hero, honestly, would probably be Dilla, man. I know it's cliche as fuck, but I didn't even realize how I don't think I even realized how impactful he was on my production game then. But I would probably have to say that, man. Because I was just drenched in that whole sound and just the Soul Aquarian sound in general. But as an adult beat maker, who is my superhero? Man, that one's a little tougher. But I probably have to say, honestly, folks like Quincy Jones, folks like Herbie Hancock. You know what I mean? Just been doing this for so long. They've revolutionized so much in the music industry. And they basically made their mark on not only jazz music, not only funk music, not only hip hop music, not only pop music, but everything. You know what I mean? In between. And that's just off the top of my head, honestly. But yeah, for sure, Quincy and Herbie, man. I have a lot of admiration for those two. And Chick Corea, rest in peace, as well.
Yeah, yo, rest in peace to Chick Corea, man. Quincy Jones. Yo, I'm still trying to collect every single Quincy Jones album, man. Definitely Timbaland. When I first started, man, Timbaland was it. You know, the RZA was it, Primo was it, but Timbaland was the first one that really was like, yo, I hear a lot of ear candy in here, man. It's blowing my freaking mind, yo. So, yeah, man, I can agree with that. Dr. Dre as well, man. So, can you tell me about a time where you, like, you failed and how you overcame it? And secondly, what do you wish you would have known before you started on the journey in music? And the reason I ask this question is because whoever's going to be listening to this is kind of maybe may feel like they're failing right now. They're not getting recognition. People are not supporting them like that. You know, stuff like that. So it's really like a perspective / motivation to let them know, like, you know, you're not by yourself. You're on a journey right now. Just keep going, keep doing what you're doing, type of, you know what I mean, warning, I guess you can call it, you know.
Oh man, a time that I had failed and overcame it. I would say, I kind of just touched base on it, but it was like, I would say it was during that little hiatus that I took as far as making music. Not so much that the hiatus was a failure, though I still feel it kind of was. It was a waste of time, but I the reason why I had sold all my equipment and stopped making music, because I had kind of at that moment felt that I had failed at what I was doing and trying to accomplish as far as like TUS and the old collective I was in. And we had a lot of little things popping off, you know, we had some blog posts, write-ups and shit, and you know what I mean, we had a little thing going on. And then once the group dismantled, I kind of was just back at square one, and I kind of felt like I had put all my marbles into this group or collective, and I didn't really do too much myself. Not that I was like riding on the back of that, but like it was like complacency basically, and I felt like I had just started from square one again, so I had felt like a failure. But through that, I kind of got reinvigorated by the idea of being able to kind of start from scratch again and like reestablish a whole new fan base and all this stuff, which I didn't do until 2020. But from then on, I was already kind of formulating what I started doing in 2020. Because honestly, like, I feel like I didn't really get much traction then, because I was very self-absorbed. I really thought my music was good enough that the music would speak for itself, that I didn't really have to like participate in any of this social media stuff. I mean, mind you, it wasn't to where it's at now. Social media has definitely advanced and has kind of become the forefront of your music, I guess, advertisement or whatever, your branding is what you would want to call it. But back then, I didn't really think I needed any of that. I was like, whatever, I don't need to do none of that shit. I'm just gonna post my music and motherfuckers will like it, it'll be dope, all this other shit. And of course that wasn't true. And after, you know what I mean, I had lost everything and starting back from scratch, I came to the realization, and it's like, nah man, I really do have to put in the effort and I really have to put in the work and really put myself out there and brand my music the way that I want to, and like really conceptualize the way that I'm presenting it to people. Cause I didn't give a fuck about that before. I was just like, whatever, I'm gonna throw my shit on band, you know what I mean, whatever, people will download it, they'll love it, whatever, you know. I was really big headed and stupid. And then the importance of community too. Like, I did not realize the importance of community until this time around, and I have a lot of love for my community and my supporters and my homies, and they show me love and even providing for the community, like as far as like providing tutorial content or any kind of like just helping hand with any up and coming artists or anybody who comes and reaches out to me for a question and shit. Back in the day, I'd be a dick about it and I'd probably be like, I'll go fucking figure it out, you know? Like, I don't know. I think I learned a lot of this through the restaurant world, through my hospitality side of my life. I learned to take care of people. I learned how to care for people and feed people and genuinely just care about making someone's time enjoyable or just making their day better. And that definitely helped me out a lot with the community aspect of it. And I'll tell you, man, this last 2 years, I never would have imagined that I'd get to where I'm at, especially from my first run. Like my first run, I was doing this shit for five years, and I didn't get nowhere near where I'm at right now. And I think a lot of that was out of just stubbornness and big-headedness. And I think I owe a lot of my success right now to humility and just being one with the culture, not thinking that I'm above the culture, you know what I mean? But that was one big learning lesson, and I continue practicing that to this day.
Yeah, I appreciate that that background, man. Like, and I'm pretty sure, like, whoever hears this, whether it be today, whether it be, you know, weeks, months, years from now, like, they'll hear this and, you know, be like, damn, okay, everything's going to be okay. You know what I mean? So, appreciate that, bro. I had to ask this question, bro. You've been a part of some amazing beat showcases for, like, Beat Cinema, Koala versus SP 404 World Tournament, Organic Beat Sessions from Fireside TV, and more, man. So can you talk about what beat showcases mean to you and why showcases like these are so important to beat culture? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like a way of connecting with other like-minded beat makers and producers, you know?
Yo, man, thank you. Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. Man, shout out to Beat Cinema. Shout out to Kobe for putting that together. Shout out to DiBiase, Koala Beatcast, and Marek for putting that tournament together, man. That was life-changing, too. Shout out to Brown at Farside TV. Shout out to Matty J, man, for letting me be part of all those showcases, like you said, because they really have been a blessing. I mean, I was trying to get on Beat Cinema for a while, and that Koala versus SP tournament just happened to be the perfect showcase. That kind of gave me the layup to get to that Beat Cinema set, you know, and I owe that to Dibby and to Marek and to Remy at Koala Beatcast, because they put that together, man. Shout out to the SP squad, shout out to the Koala squad. Everybody's so talented, man. If you didn't peep it, go peep that on YouTube. There's also the mixtapes also on Bandcamp. But yeah, everybody brought heat, man. So much as to, like, there was some big heads in that room, some, you know what I mean, some major people in that tournament room, and it was crazy. I was like, yo, what the fuck, you know? And you know, that kind of helped shine light on us, and that's where the Koala Beat Cinema Showcase came out of, which I'm so incredibly grateful for. Shout out to Kobe, Serotonin, everybody at Beat Cinema, Wave Groove for putting that together for us, man. And same thing with the Organic Beat Sessions, man. Being part of the Farside thing, it's a really good community to be a part of. They do great things for the beat maker culture, you know what I mean? Yeah, bro, I mean, that's where you can go and find like-minded individuals and be put on to new music, new up-and-coming musicians or producers that you for sure might not be aware of. There's a lot of talented cats out there, man, and a lot of like-minded people. So if you're looking for spaces like that, that's definitely somewhere that you should definitely think about poking your head into. Other places, man, is Twitch and Discord are two of my favorite places to be on the internet right now. Shameless plug, you can follow me on Twitch at TellyMcLean449. I'd be streaming Tuesdays and Thursdays, you know what I mean, cooking up live. But just like me, there's hundreds of thousands of other DJs, producers with their own Twitch streams, with their own communities of sometimes broad, sometimes very niche sounds and genres. And no matter what it is that you're into musically or whatever, you can find a community for that either on Twitch. You can find a producer that's doing that, that's already has its own community. And most likely that Twitch community is behind closed doors interacting through a Discord server, which is my new favorite place to get to meet new like-minded people and to get inspiration is Discord servers, man. Like, you know what I mean? Go to like the Amari Jazz Discord server, Ringo Discord server, Knowledge, Kenny Beats. There's just so many talented people trying to collaborate, trying to put you up on new game, put you up, give you free shit. Like, it's crazy, man. Discord is the place to be if you are trying to find the gems. I should have put this one on the resources question, but Discord is one of my best resources right now, honestly, because there's so many like-minded people, and I haven't even had to look for samples for a while because there's so many people that I'm collaborating with. You know what I mean? It's an amazing place. So I would definitely recommend anybody who's a beat maker, producer, if you haven't got on Twitch, if you haven't got on Discord, fuck all those other social medias. I'm saying it right now. That's where you want to be. That's where all this shit is popping. And not like clout chasing popping, but like that's where the real gems are. So for sure, I would recommend that to anybody.
Like Beat Cinema, Koala, you know, like Farside TV, Organic Beat Sessions. Yo, man, those are like, that's where I find new music. I'll go to them, find new music, or Twitter. So, yo, y'all keep doing what y'all doing, man. Like, I'll eventually tap into every single person that's been on one of those shows, man, so we can get more of a, you know, more input on them as human beings, as creative spirits, but then also as amazing beat makers, man. So yeah, so like you're a physical music, Bandcamp, digital streaming platform user, but you know, how do you think beat makers benefit from using platforms like these and emerging tech such as like cryptocurrency and blockchain? Like, how do you think it'll help the music space?
Physical versus Bandcamp versus digital streaming. I mean, I wouldn't be the best person to ask about the physicals since this is my first run at attempt at a physical release with the Pescohuit, which is out on my Bandcamp. Got about 25 cassettes. Go ahead and pick those up. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm getting a lot of positive feedback, and I kind of really just wanted to see if I was able to sell 50 cassettes, you know what I mean? Just kind of dip my feet into the water. But, you know, I definitely wouldn't recommend it unless you know for sure you have some kind of fan base that is going to support you. One thing that I've been trying to wrap my brain around is maybe the idea of like doing like a merch release coupled with a free project, you know what I mean? So essentially you're buying the merch, you get the music for free, you know? Like, there's just different ways you could market your music, man. And Bandcamp does a really good job of helping you out with that, from Bandcamp Fridays to allowing you to sell merch and ship everything through their website for no more than the fee that they already take. They give you free download codes that you can give out to your supporters. You know what I mean? I sent a bunch of download codes out with the cassettes that I just shipped out. I also tell people all the time, I'm like, if there's some project of mine that you really, really love and you don't want to pay for it, just reach out to me. I will give you a download code so you can listen to that shit. You know what I mean? If that means that you will support me on a future project or a future release, then I'll take that L. Because, I mean, it's not an L. You're listening to my music. And that's the only goal right now. I really don't have a lot of income coming in from this, you know, so it's really just me trying to get my music out there and helping people find your music. You got to make it easy for them to find your music, because people hate looking, man. They're not like most of us as producers who love to go dive and dig. Like, people don't like to do that. If they don't see it right in front of them, they're not going to waste the time. So I think Bandcamp makes that really easy, and they're very artist friendly. Digital streaming is also another one of those things. It's like, yeah, maybe they don't pay very well, but it's another place where fans can access your music, especially fans who don't like to pay, because most of them don't. So I mean, most people don't like to pay. If you got a fan, I mean, shit, there's a percentage of those people who are still not going to want to pay for your music. Maybe a show, if that, but you know what I mean? So you got to be able to take what you can and give what you can to keep people engaged with you and fucking with you. You know what I mean? Like, that's really all it is. And man, I don't know anything about the blockchain or NFTs. I'm barely just getting into like the NFT game, not even getting into it, but like researching it. So I wouldn't be the guy to ask as far as that goes, man, for real. I have no idea what a blockchain is. But yeah, man, definitely recommend Bandcamp for anybody releasing your music. And it's always good to have them on both. You know what I mean? It's all about accessibility and accessibility for purchasing too, you know? So if somebody wants to spend money with you, they can. But yeah, that's essentially the short of it.
Episode 38, Telly McLean. We're listening to that Tepez Coyote beat tape that he just dropped, man, on his Bandcamp, man. TellyMcLean.bandcamp.com, man. Support it, man. Yo, I appreciate Change Your Ways, yo. I feel that, man. Like, I feel it spiritually, man, you know. So I appreciate you for creating this, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man. So last question, man. What should the internets look out for from Telly McLean in 2022? And then how can people tap into you, your music? Go ahead, plug your social project, your socials, your projects, any beat showcases that you might have coming up, all that type of stuff, man.
Well, we just dropped the Pesco Huit on my Bandcamp February 8th. Got 50 cassettes on there available for purchase, so if y'all like physicals, go ahead and cop that. You get the free download. I got more projects in the works. So I got one that's coming out in April on my birthday, April 4th, 404 day, which is basically just a bunch of joints that didn't make it onto this last Tepesco Huit project. It's gonna be called El Producto. Look out for that. That's only going to drop on my Bandcamp as well. No physical for that one. Then I got another tape called El Sapo, which is coming out later in the year. I don't have a release date yet, but that one's going to be a physical release. I think I'm going to do another limited run of cassettes. And the goal is I have a third, or technically it's a fourth tape that's going to drop at the end of the year. I just finished mixing all that, so that's going to drop at the end of the year. I don't want to release the name yet because I'm not settled on it, but that's definitely going to happen. And that one I'm trying to make sure is a vinyl release. So hopefully by the end of the year, you guys will be able to cop some Telly McLean vinyls. Other than that, man, just putting in work on Twitch on a weekly. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I go live on Twitch, cook up some beats, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can find that on twitch.tv/TellyMcLean449. Follow me, slide through, subscribe. We just hit affiliate, so I get subscribers now. Yeah, man, I'm working on some couple projects with a couple of the homies. So I got some working with the homie Sapien coming out of Boston, or Massachusetts, I guess. You know what I mean? We got the T-Wave shit working. That's me, Taki, and Tatumaki. We got the... I got a couple of joint projects in the works too. So those will... Look out for those for sure. Maybe later on in the year. But as far as Telly McLean releases, I got those four projects on the way for sure. Man, you can follow me on Instagram at Telly McLean. Same thing on Twitter at Telly McLean. YouTube, you could just search Telly McLean, man. You know what I mean? Oh yeah, yeah. And then also make sure y'all tap into the Discord. It's in my IG bio link. If you pop into the Twitch chat, we throw it up on there all the time too. So, but that's usually where I like to stay in touch with my fan base, or through my Bandcamp mail letter or newsletter. So, you know what I mean? If you follow me on Bandcamp or join the Twitch, you definitely stay tapped in. You know, I mean, I also like to throw on a lot of stuff. There's a lot of channels on there for like inspiring stuff. You know what I mean? Live shows, things that are inspiring to me, music gear that, you know what I mean? Music gear we like to talk about, any kind of tips and tricks. So, you know what I mean? If you're trying to get some gems, definitely hop into the Discord. But yeah, man, I think that's it for 2022. I'm already, you know what I mean, got a lot of stuff going. Already thinking about 2023. You know what I mean? We ain't going nowhere. Just trying to stay up in here, in your ear. But yeah, man, we just gonna keep rocking. Keep rocking till the ears fall off, you know what I mean? Appreciate you having me, Golden Mind. Appreciate you for the interview, bro. It was my pleasure. Man, peace.
Yeah, bro, yo, y'all just got a definite deep insight to, you know what I mean, Telly McLean, man. So first of all, I want to say thank you to Telly for allowing me to spotlight you, man. You know, I'm doing this just because I always want to, like, know about the individual creating these masterpieces, these pieces of art, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's the whole thing behind this, man. But thank you. Yeah, anybody that's tapped into this, man, go ahead and tap in. Follow him on Bandcamp. Follow him on Twitch. Follow his Discord. Follow, you know, whatever playlist he's got going on as well. Support through Bandcamp, through Twitch, and all that type of stuff, man. Because, you know, directly supporting and giving and donating or purchasing their music is an investment in them to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Like I appreciate what you're doing. I fucks with it. Keep going. You know what I mean? So, I mean, streaming's cool, but it ain't paying the bills like that, man. So direct support is the best way to go. You know what I mean? So anyway, man, let me get up out of here, man. I appreciate y'all for tapping in, man. Again, have a great weekend. Stay tuned for next week. We're going to round out February, man. Dope. dope episode coming up, man. I can't even let y'all know until Wednesdays. That's when I put out who's going to be on the show for Sunday. So y'all tap in. Go ahead, follow The Rec Show wherever you get your podcast from. Follow me on Bandcamp. Go to mind.bandcamp.com. If you support the Rec Show podcast album, that one time, it'll keep updating on the Bandcamp app, so you can just pull it up whenever you want to, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man, that's what we got going on here, man. So, peace and love to everybody, and I'm gonna see y'all on another episode, man. Inshallah, peace and love, yo. Bow, 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 bow.
Misión profunda de llegar donde Noemí con un mensaje de cumbia. De llegar donde Noemí con un mensaje de cumbia. Tu padre José Ignacio y tu madre Maruja. Tu padre José Ignacio y tu madre Maruja. Ellos te quieren tanto y también bailan cumbia. Ellos te quieren tanto, Noemí, y también bailan cumbia.
Kids or other producers, like, that's cheating. You can't really be separate, but bro, like, when it comes to this producing shit, you can do whatever you want.
You've been listening to The Rec Show Podcast. Be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Remember three things. Believe in your music. Take care of your mentals. Become the best version of yourself. Until the next one, Golden Mind signing off. Peace and love, yo.
To be the best, you got to work overtime. To be the best, you got to work overtime.
These young boys getting better. This is not like the NBA when you can retire. Like, this is, you have to keep going.